America Healthcare versus Fourth Street Solutions. Mr. Lenker.
May it please the court, Mr. Rounder. I'll try to put this case into its proper context. Suppose you had your wages directly deposited to your bank account, but for some reason, be it mistake or inadvertence, they got deposited to my wife's bank account. And I have signature authority over that account.
I like that idea.
I have signature authority over that account because I manage it. And I know it is your funds, and I even acknowledge that fact to you. And I have the opportunity to segregate your funds from the account, but I don't. And then in addition, I pay my wife's expenses out of the account, and I even pay myself a fee for managing the account. Now, are you merely a creditor with no property interest in your own wages? The district court here would say yes.
Well, that's right. I mean, that is the question, whether you simply owe a debt of that amount. You clearly owe the debt. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I don't think anyone disagrees.
If, in fact, Your Honor, it is a debt. If it is a debt and you have no property interest in it, that is the question. And the second question is, do you have any remedy whatsoever under these circumstances to get back from me your own funds? The district court here would say no.
Well, you know, you've claimed that Ross and Dugan paid their own salaries with funds that were owed to Kentucky. Now, isn't that in itself an allegation of preferential payment that the bankruptcy court will decide?
Well, Your Honor, what happened here is that the Ross and Dugan and their companies paid management fees to themselves and also paid operational expenses of the facility. And they did that before there was a bankruptcy filed by Scott County Wellness and Nursing Center.
But if they did, in fact, pay themselves with funds that were intended for Kentuckiana, you would be able to seek disgorgement from the bankruptcy proceedings, regardless of when this occurred. Isn't that
in the bankruptcy proceedings? It was a Chapter 7 liquidation, a no-asset bankruptcy, and that is why the individuals who had control over the account and who paid themselves were brought in as defendants in this action.
What's the difference between Fourth Street Solutions and Sage? I'm unclear about that.
Fourth Street Solutions managed the facility, and Sage handled the financial and accounting records. They had
these two fellows, Ross and
Joan Dugan,
and
Kenny Ross, were the principals of these two companies, and
both.
Yes, they had interrelated.
So, is there any difference between them? Can we treat them as one, or do we have to think of them as separate?
Well, they work together in handling the payments for the facility.
Are they owned by the same? Do they have common ownership?
At common ownership as well, Your Honor.
So are they one company, essentially?
They operated as two separate legal entities, but they had common ownership.
Is there any substantive difference between them?
Not really, except in the functions that they performed. One was a manager and one handled the accounting functions. But they worked together in both of those capabilities.
So what exactly did they agree to do for what, SN, whatever it's called?
Yeah, Scott County Wellness and Nursing Center.
Yeah, what did they agree to do?
To manage the facility and to handle their financial, tax, and accounting records.
Well, then, assuming that both of them had authority to write checks from the SCNW account, despite their deposition testimony that they never did so, how would that prove that they had control of the account? Wouldn't they still be the agents of SCNW?
They're agents, but they admitted control, Your Honor. Mr. Ross admitted that the facility checks, the checks were kept in Evansville, not at the facility, and they were done so as a matter of control, in his own words. They had the signature stamp of the owner, which they utilized. They paid funds out of the account. Dr. Bacala herself testified that Mr. Ross and Ms. Dugan determined who to pay, what to pay, how much to pay. That is control over that account.
And is there any evidence that the appellees ever distributed funds other than the automatic payments for rent and insurance without first obtaining approval from Dr. Bacala? And if so, I'd appreciate a few examples.
Yes, they in this particular instance, they did pay without the approval of Dr. Bacala, and they exercised the determination of who to pay and how much to pay. And that becomes
but,
very
interesting. But Judge Roedner is asking for specifics.
Okay. They paid monies for the operation of the facility. They
is
made
the
determination.
Is that the rent?
Well, they paid the rent, yes, but they paid all other operational expenses out of the facilities. And one very important fact is that
they did it with approval or did it on their own.
Dr. Bacala testified that they, Ross and Dugan, made the determination of who to pay.
You're not answering the question.
Sorry, Your Honor.
Did they seek the approval of SCNW?
They did not always seek the approval.
Not always. Did they
in instances, they had discussions with her, but she testified.
Yes, I know. But are there cases where a bill comes in, they write a check, they send it off, they don't consult with anybody at SCNW?
Payment of their own fees, number one.
Well, how about paying other people?
Dr. Bacala testified. Yes, Your Honor. Dr. Bacala testified that she got summaries of reports from Ross and Dugan. She received summaries of reports of what was paid and to be paid. And she testified.
Well, look, there's a difference between paid and to be paid, right? If you get a summary of what you're planning to pay, it looks as if you're seeking approval.
Well,
but on the other hand, if you just pay things without having notified your principal in advance that you were going to do so, then it looks more as if they're on their own. So that, I think, are examples that Judge Roedner was asking about.
Well, that is exactly, Your Honor, why there's a question of fact
in this case. That's the question. Were there examples of that sort?
Yes, Your Honor. They made payments out of the account on matters that they determined to be paid, and according
to... Just name one.
You're still
other than rent
you're fencing. You're fencing with us.
They set
because
up.
We're not asking who determined what. We're asking, are there cases where they wrote a check without any kind of consultation? They sent the check, mailed the check, without any consultation with anybody at SCNW.
I can give you one concrete example, Your Honor. It's according to Dr. Bacala's testimony, Ross and Dugan set up installment plans for payments to creditors. She entrusted them with that responsibility.
Who? When? What?
Who, when, what?
Yes. I know that there were automatic payments for rent and insurance. I'm just longing to know to who else. That would be so helpful for me personally.
Every creditor, true creditor of the facility that was owed money because of the financial circumstances that they were involved in, were to be paid under an installment plan determined by these individuals.
Were they paid? Were they paid?
Maybe I can come at this a different way. Do you have documents that show bills being paid to Company A, Company B, Individual C? Do you have only Dr. Bacala's deposition testimony, which is coming across in this exchange with Judge Roedner, is very vague? What do you have that shows what happened?
There are ledgers
in the summary judgment record.
Yeah, there are general ledgers in the record, Your Honor, that show the payments that were made.
So
and
that's
these were ledgers.
The first point, who was paid, and I guess I would come back and say the fact that this business is paying various creditors, including, anybody, doesn't really begin to tell me whether one particular debt is better thought of as conversion or debt. I mean, all companies take in a certain amount of money, they throw it into the pot, then they pay it back out for their creditors, and hopefully if they're successful companies, they have something left over. But be that as it may, I guess what you need to do is link up these lines in the ledger with Dr. Bacala's approvals or not.
Dr. Bacala did testify, and I don't mean to be redundant when I say this, but I think it is important. From her testimony, they made the decision who to pay, what to pay, and how to pay. If you're asking me for specific examples, I know there are general ledger records. I cannot cite them to you today specifically which records there are. But they had the installment payment obligations and determinations in their authority. They kept the checks at their facility.
Is the contract between Sage and SCNW in the record?
Yes, it is in the record.
What does it say? Now, you say that Sage was authorized to or hired to handle the accounting. What does that mean? What does the contract say about that?
The contract says that the payments for rent, et cetera, are to be made by the management company, which was 4th Street Solutions. But what the parties did here, Your Honor, is they actually varied that account by their conduct in this case, and we raised that point. In practicality and in actuality, they kept the checkbook at their facility. They utilized the signature stamp over that account.
How often did they consult with someone at SCNW before they sent a check, paid a bill?
How often did they do it? They consulted. They discussed would be a better term.
Discussed.
They discussed the payments that they had made with Dr. Bacala, and they furnished a report of payments they had made to Dr. Bacala.
No, I understand reporting. Look, but discussed in advance, before they paid a bill, how often did they discuss it with SCNW?
They did not discuss it on a regular basis.
That's not my question.
How often? Your Honor, I cannot answer the question as to how often.
Suppose it's 99% of the time.
Well, I don't believe this record supports that.
Destroy your case.
I don't believe the record supports that, Your Honor.
What does the record support?
Record supports the fact that they have...
That's so vague.
They...
Why didn't you find out how often they consulted before they sent a check?
You know, Your Honor, all I can say to you in response, and without trying to be repetitious here, is you have to look at the evidence of the testimony of the owner.
You are being repetitious and you're being evasive.
I'm not trying to, Your
Honor. The critical issue is how often they consult in advance.
Dr.
Bacala, they do it 99% of the time, that greatly weakens your case. And they do it 1% of the time, it strengthens your case.
Dr. Bacala testified they made the decision to pay.
Did they pay for the water cooler?
The water cooler, the care of patients, everything that goes along with expenditures for operating a nursing home for patients. Everything. Her testimony was they made the payments and determined who to pay. I cannot give you specific examples here today, but that testimony is all pervasive.
What did the contract say? Did the contract say that Sage or 4th Street Solutions, whatever it is, payment authority?
The contract said that they had the ability and the payment authority to run the nursing home. They were managers and they were the accountants or financial people for the nursing home. And in fact, they did make
I'm asking you what the contract said.
The contract said
payment authority?
Yes.
Then why did they consult Dr. Bacala?
She was the owner, Your Honor, and consultation may be a strong word here. Well, Dr. Bacala turned that responsibility over to them, and that is why the contract...
What do you mean, turned over the responsibility?
They were the people handling the account for the owner. She turned over that responsibility
the contract,
to them. The contract says what it says, but in fact, by their...
I don't understand your but. You say the contract granted payment authority. Are you sure? Are you sure you know what the contract says?
I believe I know what the contract says, Your Honor, but what they did, in fact...
Why didn't you say but?
Because conduct...
The contract granted payment authority. What's the but?
Conduct can modify any term of a contract.
Why do you want, if the contract grants payment authority, why do you want to modify that?
The payment authority was for certain specific matters.
Oh, they were just given payment authority for a few things.
But they paid everything. That's the conduct. That is the conduct, Your Honor, that modified that contract by their actions. Because in practicality and reality, that's how this nursing home was operated.
That's why it's so important. You talk about the contract being modified by conduct, which is fine. That's fine. But you don't give us any specifics.
Your Honor, the only specific I can...
You do not have any cases where outside of the payment authority granted the contract... The Sage and Fourth Street Solutions actually made payments without first discussing them with SC&W.
But Dr. Bakla's own testimony says they did not consult with her. They made the decisions. Now, that's the evidence, Your Honor.
They never consulted with her?
I'm not saying they never talked with her.
How often did they do that?
I can't give you specifics, Your Honor, the number of days or times.
Well, why do you look in your ledgers and find out?
Well, the ledgers wouldn't tell you who made the decision.
So she would
pay.
Tell you. Why didn't you ask her? How often were you consulted in advance?
I asked that question, Your Honor.
What did she say?
She said the determination of...
No, that's not my question.
Oh, how often?
Yeah.
According to her testimony, they did it as a matter of course in the running of the facility.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Linker. Mr. Rounder?
Thank you.
Thank you. I realize time is short, so I'm going to dispense with any serious presentation. I would like to clear up one matter, however. There was a discussion about what the contract says, and I can tell the court exactly what the contract says. The contract between Scott County and Fourth Street Solutions provides that Scott County shall disperse and pay expenses, and that Fourth Street Solutions shall prepare the checks for those disbursements. And that is, in fact, in practice, what occurred. Those checks were prepared. There was a signature stamp with Dr. Bakala's name. But Joan Dugan, in her lengthy testimony, did testify that she met with Dr. Bakala on a weekly or nearly weekly basis, in which they discussed various aspects of the facility, including payables, what needed to be paid, and that she always consulted with Dr. Bakala. For that matter, she testified she consulted with Dr. Bakala about Kentuckiana and what should be done about them. And Dr. Bakala asked her to try to work out some kind of payment plan.
I'm sorry, Dr. Bakala did what? I didn't hear you.
Asked her to try to work out some kind of payment plan with Kentuckiana to pay off what was owed to them.
Of course, Dr. Bakala testified in her deposition that it was that Sage had discretion to write checks and determine if payment would be made. Hmm. If that was true, would that have amounted to control over the Scott County State Bank account?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe it would have. In practice, first of all, as Judge Wood pointed out, Dr. Bakala's testimony was, to use a generous word, vague and somewhat self-protecting, perhaps. Dr. Bakala's never been named as the defendant in this case, but she did authorize. She got a weekly statement from Sage, which showed what was due, and her staff or she authorized the payment of those expenditures.
Did that happen in writing, or is this just an understanding that everybody seemed to have, which is supported by something in the record?
And I'm sorry, what exactly do you mean in writing?
Her authorization. You just used the critical words, things that were due to be paid, or words to that effect. And then you said Dr. Bacala would authorize the payment. And I'm wondering, what's the concrete, on what piece of documentation in the summary judgment record are you relying for what you just said? Is it her deposition? Are there documents that you have? Is it somebody else's deposition? What are you looking at?
Well, first of all, the contract, of course.
The contract.
And in addition to that, there were payable ledgers that were prepared and sent to Dr. Bacala and her staff on a weekly basis. And then in practice, Joan Dugan was the primary contact with Dr. Bacala, though Kenny Ross did have some contact with her. And in practice, they discussed that payable list, as Joan Dugan testified, and Dr. Bacala authorized payments to be made. Now, on smaller matters, Ms. Dugan did testify, and I'm talking about $100 kind of matters, water cooler matters, day-to-day kind of running the kind of business kind of expenditures. 4th Street didn't have to go seek approval for those smaller things. But we're talking about minor.
What was the cutoff for minor?
I honestly am afraid, I'm sorry, I do not remember exactly what that was. It was in the neighborhood of $1,000, $2,000, Dr. Dugan, or Mr.
That's Dugan. In the contract or a matter of practice?
That's just a matter of practice between them.
Was there any way for 4th Street and Sage to distinguish as funds were received between payments for services that were provided by Kentuckiana and any other payments?
Well, Your Honor, I was with this case pretty much from the beginning. I never saw any evidence of or how they could have determined that.
Uh-huh.
The Medicaid and Medicare remittance advices, which described what those payments that came in were for, were often received by the facility a week or two after the money was wired in. By that time, because of the financial nature of the problems the facility faced, that money had already been spent on necessary items for the patient care.
You know, there was that February 7th, 2003
yes.
letter to Mr. Latrello that
yes.
Joan Dugan, and in it she said something, well, she said that they hold the amount
yes.
Of Medicaid money that belonged to Kentuckiana pending the outcome of certain Medicare penalties that dated back
to Kentuckiana's time.
Yeah, that dated back. What evidence is there in the record that any Medicare penalties were attributable to Kentuckiana? And did SCNW pay? Did it pay any of those penalties on behalf of Kentuckiana?
I don't think there's any evidence in the record to that effect. Ms. Dugan was asked about that letter in her deposition, and she did say that she misstated the facts in that letter. To the effect that they were holding money for Kentuckiana, for example. And she said that that there wasn't sufficient money when 4th Street came aboard to hold in any event. But
so SCNW didn't have sufficient funds to pay Kentuckiana in February of 2003. Is that what you're saying?
That was a testimony, yes.
And what difference to the bottom line would it make for 4th Street and Sage to withhold payment during the alleged investigation into the offsets and the Medicare penalties?
I'm not sure how to answer that question. I'm not trying to be evasive, but the facility was in such terrible financial shape.
Uh-huh.
It took 4th Street and Sage months just to figure out, to straighten out the books and determine what was owed. And it wound up not succeeding anyway, so I'm not sure in terms of the bottom line, in terms of the survivability of the facility, it made any difference. I don't know.
So is the SCNW bankruptcy wound up or pending or what?
My understanding, that's all wound up some time ago.
So did Kentuckiana get anything from the bankruptcy?
I'm not aware that they did. I know I filed a proof of claim on behalf of 4th Street. They were owed over $100,000, and they never got anything.
So it was an assetless bankruptcy, basically?
Yes.
How much did you say?
Just over $100,000.
Yeah.
Do you have anything further?
I do not.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Rounder. So, Mr. Linker, your time expired, but we can have another minute if you'd like.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate that. Just real briefly to address the point that you were asking me, in the supplemental appendix that was filed in this case, and it was filed by the appellees, the testimony, it's very short, is clear from Dr. Bacala as to who determined payments to be made. They were prioritizing the bills. Who was they? Sage. And how was the priority determined? They set up payment plans and tried to prioritize them so that everybody was kind of taken care of. So Sage determined this. Yes. When you got the summary, did you say pay the bills as you deem fit? Answer, yes. You said that bills were prioritized by Sage. Were these issues prioritized as well, the important issues? Yes. Now, this is the owner's testimony.
Yeah, but the way what your readings suggest that this summary of payables was given to Dr. Bacala in advance of payment.
They were, right? This was addressed in this appendix, Your Honor, exactly what you're asking. Were you provided with a list of what bills needed to be paid? I got a summary, a monthly summary of everything. Was that of bills to be paid or bills that were paid? Both was her answer. When you got the summary, did you say pay the bills as you deem fit? Yes. And who provided you with the summary? Joan, being Joan Dugan. And they prioritized the payments, and they had the checkbook, and they used the signature stamp, and they had signature authority. And Mr. Ross testified that the holding of the checks was so they could exercise control over the account. And I know control is important here. In order to link these defendants, that is an important issue. But the evidence that's there, certainly, if it's to be construed in a manner most favorable to the non-moving party for summary judgment, then at least a jury should be able to ascertain from this testimony and these facts as to whether these defendants had the control over this account. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lester and Mr. Rounder.
I just want to ask one more question.
Sure.
Would it be a Pyrrhic victory here?
A Pyrrhic victory? For who?
I mean, if indeed there was a trial, is there anything out there for you?
Sage and 4th Street are still, according to my information, viable entities. Okay. Ms. Dugan has since passed away, and she has an estate administration, according to my information, and Mr. Ross has assets as well. So it would not be a Pyrrhic victory. It would be an ability to recover what is essentially, actually, legally, our funds. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.